Alrighty, everyone. Good evening. This is Gordon, W2TTT. And this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Well, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon again. W2TTT. We'll be using the call sign K2BAR. This net is conducted weekly on a frequency of 146.835 MHz. 2 meter repeater of the Adventure Crew 7373 Amateur Radio Club, located in Pearl River, New York. And it operates with a minus 600 kilohertz input. And its PL is 151.4, but it is currently off, so you can operate with carrier's welch at this time. The purpose of this net is to have a conversation about amateur radio, about computers, electronics, telecommunications, and the natural arts and sciences that surround our sport, as it were, our hobby. In any case, we hope that you'll participate. This net is also open to those who want to make announcements and also talk about our experiences, things we've done, things we aspire to do, things we never want to do again. And, of course, for sale, swap, or wanted items as well. Okay. As you can hear, my son is happy, and I am happy, too. It is now 2-1 Canada as opposed to 2-0 Canada in the World Junior Hockey Championships, which are going on. The finals are going on right now. In any case, we will keep you posted on that as a sidebar. Hi. So, with no further ado, let's talk about how we check in. We check in with our call sign, our name, and we indicate whether we have a question, comment, for sale, swap, or wanted item, some combination of those things, or none of the above. You might say, why would I check in if it's none of the above? And that is so that we can tailor the net to your listening pleasure. If you don't indicate you're listening, we can't tailor the net, and it's kind of unfortunate. We get a number of people who check in when they finally have a comment during the net who, you know darn well, have been listening the whole time, and it would have been nice to know that they'd been there earlier, because you might have even called upon them as a resource or you know, maybe adjusted the net a little bit. So feel free to check in, even if you don't think you have anything to contribute at this time. So, with no further ado, stations whose call signs begin with the letter whiskey, one at a time, please. K2BAR, go ahead.
Good evening, Gordon. This is Jim, WA2UMP in Pearl River, and just listening this evening.
This is WA2ISE, Bob, and just listening.
W2JEK, done with a comment.
Okay, so at the risk of sounding cranky, I wanted to acknowledge Jim before acknowledging the next station coming in, and then before the next station coming in. It's just, I mean, come on, guys. Maybe I'm getting old and grumpy, but one at a time means one at a time. WATUMP, I got you just listening. Bob, WA2ISC, I have you just listening. And Don, I have you with a comment, WJEK with a comment. Are there any other whiskeys?
W2SE, no traffic.
Okay, thank you, Bruce. Any other whiskeys? Alrighty, any other kilos? Alright, how about alphas? Alright, how about Novembers?
N2DXT, Sean in Clifton, New Jersey, and just listening to the net tonight.
Good evening, Sean, N2DXT, I got you. Or any other call sign, any format. Alrighty. Well, let's go with Don's comment. W2JEK. Good evening, Don. Hope you're well. And your comment, sir. K2BAR.
NJ2BS. Repeat.
All right, K2BIR in the net, W2JEK. Good evening, everybody. Our Barra's next VE test session will be on Friday, January 20th at 7 p.m. And that will be at the Senior Center at 350 Hudson Avenue in the Township of Washington. This is where Barra conducts its monthly meetings also. They will have, this Sunday night, I believe they were having a meeting there also. And SV still remains at $15. You are coming. You'll need a form of ID, a picture ID, such as a driver's license or a passport. Or if you don't have a photo ID, two forms of non-photo ID. And if you are already licensed, please bring your license and a copy of that license. And if you have a commercial license, or some other kind of license that is an FCC license with it, has an FRN number on it, please bring that along too, because if you already have an FRN number, they don't want to give you two FRN numbers, because anybody that gets a license gets an FRN number. Now that would cause a problem if you already have an FRN number. You have to find that out. I had a daughter phone call, so one fellow had a did not know his FRN, did not know his call sign or anything else for his commercial equipment. And calculators can be used. Memories must be empty. iPods, cell phones, other devices may not be used as a calculator. And let me just drop it a second. Okay, anybody that has had a technician license issued before March 21st, 1987 can paper upgrade to general class license. The quota is the only difference between the general and the tech license was the Morse code was 5 words per minute for the tech and it's 13 per minute for the general. So we can paper upgrade now that the Morse code is going away. Also, people whose licenses have expired, if they had a general, advanced, or extra class license, and it's beyond the 2-year grace period, can renew by providing evidence to the effect that they did hold such a license that was expired. Take the current technician test, pass that, and you will be able to get your general back as a general. If you're in advance, you will get a general class because no more advanced licenses are being issued. If you had an extra class, you'll get an extra class back. Not your same call sign, but you will get a license. Anybody has any questions? Back to you, Gordon. This is W2JEK.
Okay, very good, Don. Anybody have any questions for Don regarding licensing of the upcoming test sessions? Okay, just one further note on that. Not only is that where Barra is holding their test, their meeting on Sunday night, but the following Sunday, a week from Sunday, the BCFMA will be holding their meeting. So do keep that in mind. That's coming as well. Don, did you want to add anything else to your comments?
Yes. Most of our test sessions will be held at the Senior Center. It got a little too expensive over at the high school. The only time we will be having a test session at the high school is on those days when we will be having a ham fest. And we will be there at 8 o'clock in the morning for the ham fest test session. We have one, that's May 27th, by the way. And there are several others that are on the, they're on the ARRL's website now. Now, the thing you mentioned, Gordon, about the, what do you call it, the,
looking for the paperwork. I'm looking for the information about the ECFMA. I wasn't sure about the date on that. I'll check and I'll come back to that. Back to net, W2JEK.
Yeah, okay. I don't have anything at this moment, but okay. Let me say this. You know, Don and his test team have just done outstanding efforts to ensure that there's a test session monthly during most of the year, and even in months where they've taken off, they've been known to have an additional test session, and it's really outstanding. So really, it's a fine team, and I've watched them administer tests to folks of all shapes and sizes. It's outstanding. Don, did you want to say anything more?
Yeah, I got an email from Jim, KC2VRY. The meeting will be held Sunday, February 19th, 2017, at 7 p.m. at the Borough Hall, where we have our meetings. But it's February 19th, so it's not this month. So let's not have that paper here, and also they have a thing that you can send in with your name and address and information about your name and address and so on, along with the $25 fee that they're charging. So that's 25, that's a good bargain considering what those repeaters cost. Back to net, W2JEK.
Yes, absolutely. And the it seems that the Franklin Lakes machine has coverage that it heretofore has never seen. So we should be very thankful for the coverage that it's providing these days. In any case, what was I going to say? Oh, yes, my error, thinking it's this month. The BCFMA meeting is in February on the 19th. And not only that, but it's also a, what do you call it? There'll be a BARA meeting the second weekend in February, as well as the second weekend in January. Because there'll be a Super Bowl the first weekend in February, and no one feels it's right to have the meeting that day. So there we go. And the U.S. is tied up, Canada, by the way, 2-2 in the middle of the second. One other thing I should point out is that this month's meeting, Chris Merck is going to, W2CAM, going to do a talk on Arduino ham radio projects. And you don't have to be much of a computer person to use an Arduino, and it's just another little component, but it really is going to be quite a good presentation, and get people who are normally not interested in computers or microcontrollers to step into that world. So I'm looking forward to seeing that myself. In any case, next month, Chuck and I are going to do a talk on noise hunting in your home, and noise in your ham shack, and how to find it and kill it. So all the different kinds of noise and noise sources that might befall you. All right. So anybody else? Okay, anything you want to add, Doc?
No, thank you, Gordon. Not this time. Back to net, W2JEK.
All righty. So for tonight, before we get into our various topics, curious, is there anybody else who'd like to check into the net? All righty. then let's proceed. We have threatened for a number of weeks to talk about favorite Christmas presents that we have gotten that are ham radio or electronics related. And let's see what people might have. Anybody want to talk about that?
W2JEK.
Go right ahead, Don.
Okay, we've had quite a few phonograph records over the years, and I think the last phonograph we had got rid of, and we still kept the records. And right before Christmas, my wife and I were shopping, and we came upon a...
Sorry, Don, you came upon what? Don had a technical failure. Oh, dear. So I guess we don't have Mr. Don. Let's try it again. Well, I'm going to speculate as to where he went. He kept the phonograph records, but not the phonographs. And so he said he and his wife were shopping this year and noted that's when he dropped. My guess, he's seen some of the new devices that are out there to dub a record to other media. I'm wondering if that's what he saw and found. Just curious, has anyone else seen some of that equipment and tried any of it? Alrighty, anybody else have a topic they'd like to bring up?
Gordon, NTDXT.
Go right ahead, Sean.
Well, I can't say I got any holiday or Christmas or anything related kind of new toys, but I have a post-holiday project I'll be working on, which will be interesting. I picked up at Nearfest, New Hampshire's, New England's biggest ham fest that they run twice a year, a three-set lot of old Kenwood tri-band radios, the 641, 741, 941s, you might remember those models, all in various degrees of working condition. Well, each one of them with a quirk or a problem to be repaired. Perhaps I'll Frankenstein the best one that takes the best of all three. So in the spirit of some interesting exploratory on a holiday project, post-holiday project, that'll be my toy or adventure over the winter months.
Well, that should be interesting. What do you hope to get out of the restored / Frankenstein radios? Since you have a diverse collection, where do you think it's going to end up?
Well, the hope is I'll wind up with, at minimum, one perfectly working one with all the modules in that I enjoy, all the buttons making proper contact, the screen lighting up properly. I think that's the goal. You know, these radios are hard to find, and sometimes when they're in perfect working condition, they're very pricey because of their rarity. And I paid a very low price for, took a bet. I've been running tests and making notes about where the quirks are and what things are working great. So I'm hoping to make, like I said, take the best of each one of them and get a beautifully working, no issue version. We'll see what happens. So that's my contribution to the holiday gift. That's my holiday beginning. I got all that stuff in October, but sat on it to the holidays, and I just started to take them off the shelf and spread them out and start running some tests. So we'll report back how this adventure goes.
All right, what model do you have?
Two of them are 741 Alphas, and the third one is a 941. Comes with the 1296 module, Roger.
Okay, so those are all three, the tri-banders?
All three are tri-bands.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, hopefully you'll be able to get them up and working. So that's a nice series of radios, even back to the 721 and the 621 and the 631 and the 731 and the dual banders, and that's, those didn't have removable modules. They were just, you know, plain different, as they said. But great. That's super. That is absolutely super to see how that those modular radios can be restored. And you've been reading up on all their quirks and foibles, what dies and what goes to heaven and what needs to be given a Lazarus treatment.
Definitely learning a couple things along the way, but do like the radios, like the sensitivity on FM, like the quality of the audio. This, I mean, obviously this is older stuff, so you got to expect a couple problems, but in the sea of Chinese imports and all kinds of other stuff coming in these days, you know, they're still not topping the pure, unadulterated nature of monitoring three bands truly at once and switching off which one you want to transmit on, which none of these newer Baofengs and Wushans and whatever versions that are having tri-band status that include three bands let you do fully. Allows you to kind of call up two bands at once, but you're still toggling between two. Not the purity of true three bands in modern mode all the time. So, it's good stuff. All right, let me stand by. I'll see if Don wants to get in or any others. I just want to throw that into the mix. It'll be a good comeback for another net one of these days. I'll be sure to report back to you. N2DXT.
Yeah, I have a similar Frankenstein collection of the kinds of radios I mentioned. You know, missing knobs and bad coax pigtails. And, you know, some of them I even actually, I don't know if I put in the color display or took out the color display when they made them available. A member of the 721, 621, yeah, they made a monochromatic display available, and it was loads of fun to take out the color display and wire in the monochromatic LCD display, which had much better viewing characteristics. Alrighty, very good. Don, are you back by any chance? W2JEK, K2BAR.
Did you lose something there?
We lost you when you said that you had kept your records but not your players, and that you and your wife were shopping, and bang, you disappeared.
Yeah, okay. All right, what I have is I have a loose connection sometimes on the power on the radio here. I got a thing called a Victrola. It was three-speed turntable record player, 33, 45, and 78 RPM. AM, FM radio with stereo on the FM, cassette player, and a CD player. And I got some of the old records out. One of these records is something my father had from 1929. Plays from the inside out. At 33 RPM, it's the wide groove like a 78. And take me out to the ball game. You can just gather what the pitchers in the batter are doing. And finally, at the end of the thing, right before the needle runs off the edge, they go off in a big cheer because the guy that was at bat in a home run, there were three guys on base, and this is probably the end of the World Series someplace along the line. But I have a lot of other stuff too that is pre-World War II, so a lot of memories with that stuff. Back to that, W2JK.
So you bought yourself one of the new toys, huh? That's great. That is absolutely wonderful. So it's AM, FM, and a turntable all rolled into one?
Yeah, and cassette player and a CD player.
Is it meant for dubbing?
No, I don't think it's that technical. No, I don't think so. I can't take the records.
I don't think I can't record, let's put it that way. It's not a recorder.
I've seen some that are internet enabled, and what they have, you'll love this. You put your record on, it figures out the music, who's, whatever, and then lays down the technical information on a CD or DVD along with the recording.
No, nothing like that. I did have one of my cassettes. My son-in-law had his computer over here, and he downloaded the cassette into the made it into a CD for me. But that's a very time-consuming process, the way that goes, because you're playing the whole X number of minutes, whatever it takes, load up the CD. Only did one of those. Back in that W2JK.
Yep, that's great. They have these machines now that they're, as I say, they're internet enabled, and they'll, you know, do a Shazam-like function and sort out whose music it is, when it was recorded, blah blah blah. Put down all the necessary info on the record, on the CD for you, or DVD, and allow you to load it up until you run out of buffer capacity. It's pretty neat. Anybody else have seen that kind of equipment? Alrighty. Alright, anything else, Mr. Don?
Not at this time, thanks. Just looking at the QRZ.com for the propagation, and I think it's a K4 and a 14 something on the A index. It doesn't sound too good for propagation. It hasn't been lately. I hope we get some more, we're going to get more sunspots, but I hope the K index and the A index go down to where they are more compatible with actual ham radio. Back to that, W2JEK.
Yeah, we could use some better propagation, the Lord only knows. A little 10 meter and 6 meter stuff going into the Christmas holidays, early December, early and mid December, but that was about it. Not much. But anyway, if we don't have any other contributions, I think we can secure.
WA2ISC, I picked up a new toy. Over.
Okay, very good. Bob, go right ahead.
Okay, I got, is that Goodwill? Basically, it's a FM radio internet streamer device, and also something called DAB, which I think they have over in Europe, which would explain why this box requires 220 volts at 50 hertz, but it's perfectly happy on 60 hertz. And basically, you just scroll through it, it finds internet stations that you can listen to. I stream the number from Australia, listening to their oldies, which they've got oldies that we never heard of up here. I'll drop it for a minute. And it also receives regular over-the-air FM. And I tried to see what DAB would do, but as expected, it heard nothing. I saw in the specs that this DAB, I think it's digital audio broadcast band, appears to be the same spectrum as our channel 7 through 13 on VHF. Anyway, so it was a different, an interesting toy. It took a little while to convince this box to use the Ethernet connector on the back to get on the internet. Anyway, back to net control. K2BIR is WA2ISC.
NK2BS. Repeat.
Stand by one. Okay. Problem solved. All right. Well, I'm kind of curious, what kinds of problems did you have in getting the device to talk on the internet?
For some reason, when I hooked up a Ethernet cable to like a router or something, it just wouldn't respond. It was acting like that the Ethernet connection was completely dead. But it did connect. I did manage to get it to connect to a Wi-Fi router that I have. And then I downloaded an update of its software, and then did that. And then, the thing started seeing the Ethernet connector. It appears it's either Wi-Fi or a direct wired Ethernet connection, but not both at the same time.
Yeah, wouldn't it be neat if it could then in turn stream to other devices over the Wi-Fi? Yeah, very nice. I'm willing to bet that before you updated it, it was something silly like a subnet was not matching. Like 192.168.0.x as opposed to 1.x, something like that.
Actually, I got both of those nets active on my master router, so... I couldn't figure out what it was that did wrong, it decided to start working for me, so whatever it was went away.
Okay, very good. So what's your master router, and why do you have two different Class C subnets?
Oh, it's a Cisco, I think it's RV082 router, and occasionally when I pick up devices at garage sales and stuff, it'll have, like, they'll be defaulting on 192.168.0.x instead of 1.x. And I figured it'd just be a little more convenient if I had both of those Class Cs active. So, and also gives me a few more addresses, not like I was anywhere near as close to running out. Back to net.
Yeah, very good. On that, I don't know, I'm not familiar with the RV082, but okay. I know on a normal household router, it's kind of either or. That's interesting in itself. Very good. It gives out it's got DHCP service going out on both subnets. That's pretty cool. I don't think you can do that. Can you do that with a DDWRT build of any kind? I'm just kind of curious. Do you know, or maybe Bruce knows?
This is Bob again. I think the DHCP is only active on the 192.1.x subnet, not the 0.1.
Oh, I see. But it'll route on both?
Yeah. And devices on one can talk to the other.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what you'd want, if you want to go that route. Very good. Anybody else? All right. Anything you want to add, Bob?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I was trying to figure out how to have my desktop computer be able to talk to the mesh network as well as the internet, and I was fooling around trying to figure out if I could use like a small router to what do they call it? I forgot the term where it'll send some internet traffic to one port, some other traffic to another port. But I couldn't figure it out and basically gave up on that for right now. Over.
Okay, W2TTT. So the way you do that, you put the computer on the meshnet, and then you set up a port on one of your your routers, your mesh routers, as an internet gateway, and then you run that internet gateway port over to the user port on your 192 network, and away you go.
Okay, yeah, but I also want to be able to exchange files between that computer and another computer elsewhere in the same house that's not on the mesh network. So I'm not sure if that'll let, if I can still do that or not. Over.
There are ways to do it. You can, you basically can route all your 192 traffic out that port, and then have it, I think there's a way to route it from the mesh device to the non-mesh device, but I think the non-mesh device can't see the mesh device unless you set up explicit routing. You know who will know that, how to do that is Mark at 2MH. Drop him on.
Okay, Gordon, well, thanks, and K2BIR, this is WA2ISE, I'll just be listening.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Bob. Anybody else? Alrighty, well, thank you, everyone, for a somewhat abbreviated, but useful night tonight. This is... the end of our net for this evening, and we'll see you next Thursday night. Just be aware, tomorrow is the Farallon Radio Club's monthly business meeting, as well as general purpose shop time and chat time, etc. And then Sunday night is the Barra meeting, again on Township of Washington here in Burton County. And like that there. So, busy. It's another fun-filled amateur radio weekend. So, on that note, thank you all for participating. K2BAR signing clear, 7-3.
NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. 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 This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.